Amen. So be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for others that are not feeling well. And we know we have some others that are also not feeling well. It's good to see everyone here tonight. I'm glad to see you, Chris. I'm glad to see you, too. We're glad to see Preacher and Miss Tina here today. I'm glad that they made it safe. We've been praying for them. And glad that they were able to make a safe trip. They did decide to fly home at the same time as half of Phoenix. And that place was packed. It was a Tuesday night, and there was probably 500,000 people there, seemed like at least. And there was just people everywhere in there. And I did my best race car version coming home to get them home quickly and having a good time with that. And if I ever get a WRX, I'll let them ride with me in that one, and we'll know the difference. I'm kidding, of course. And but we are thankful for them making it back safe. We've been praying for them a lot and looking forward to Sunday as well. Let's take our Bibles, go back to John. So last Wednesday night, we looked into John the Baptist and some of his characteristics and the call of God upon his life and studied that for a little bit and learned about his burden and the things that God had called him to do. Tonight, we're going to look at his message, And so really, the title for, I guess, this section or the second half of this series would be The First Sermon by the First Baptist. I remember when I was a teenager, my dad was pastoring up here in Quartz Hill, California. We had a gentleman came, knocked on our door, and it was not from a Baptist church. I didn't know that other churches that weren't Baptist knocked on doors, but he was knocking doors, and he came to the door, and I told him where I was from, and he said, "Well, you know, Baptist is not in the Bible." And I said, "John the Baptist?" "Oh, well, you know," and then he kind of just walked away. "I don't know if you're a preacher and you didn't know that." But we're going to look at John the Baptist tonight. So let's go to John chapter 1, and we're going to be giving reading verse number 19. Let's look at his, we're going to look at his message, what he preached tonight. So, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou a prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they say unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Esaias." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes that latch it I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and bless our Bible study time. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. We thank you for those that are here tonight. We thank you for bringing our pastor and his wife safely back to us. I'm glad that they got to have a good time of rest and relaxation and, Lord, recovery. And we thank you so much for that. And thank you for them. And we pray that you continue to bless them. Bless those that are not feeling well tonight. Bless Brother Rick as he still struggling with his ear and the pain and discomfort there. And we just pray that you'd give him healing. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with others tonight that are not feeling well. We just pray that you continue to give them strength, to give them mercy. Lord, help us to learn from your word tonight. Help us to apply what we heard to our hearts. We pray, Lord, you be with our missionaries tonight. We're so thankful for them. We're thankful for the service and work that they do in the places you've called them at. We pray, Lord, you help us to learn tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If I'm a little jittery and kind of excited, we got our house today, and we signed the documents and did all that, and Miss Webster was teasing Angela. She said, "Man, you guys are moved up now. You got a house that's valued at $500,000. I said, "You know, so does everybody else." But we're thankful for that. So we signed on it today, and we're like going back and forth, and let's see what else can we put in here, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it was fun today. So thanks for praying for that, and we'll maybe make a little bit of announcement later for that. But here we go, John the Baptist, and as we were looking, he was a strange man to the world, and the world couldn't understand him. The world couldn't quite get a grasp of him. They were used to the Pharisees. They were used to the Sadducees, and they were used to all of those, and they were used to all the phylacteries and the maybe the parade-style life that the Pharisees lived and how they made show of themselves, and portrayed their own holiness, portrayed their own righteousness, portrayed their own self-righteousness over the rest of the world. And the Pharisees, we knew and know, kind of held themselves at a different class as the rest of society. They viewed themselves as the righteous of the Jews, and so everyone was supposed to kind of follow them and kind of and be the spiritual influence of the time. And then all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist. He wasn't like them. He didn't concern himself with the gold. He didn't concern himself with the popularity. He didn't concern himself with the accolades. He didn't concern himself with standing on the street corners for everybody to hear him. He preached a message that was completely opposite of what the Pharisees preached and completely opposite of what they lived and what they did. And it changed. It really confused them. It really made them think. And he didn't want to dwell within the city. He wasn't trying to build a kingdom for himself. He wasn't trying to build an empire. He wasn't trying to do any of those things. He had a specific goal in mind. He had a specific task in mind. And so last week we saw how he had a great burden. Remember, God had called him to do something special. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit even before he was born to carry out a job, to carry out a mission. And that was his goal. That was his focus. No, it didn't matter if he had tons of houses. It didn't matter if he had a new chariot. It didn't matter if he had any of those things. None of that was important to him as much as getting out the gospel, getting out the message that God had given him to give. Not as if any of those things were wrong to have, but for John the Baptist, what was most important to him was getting out that message. And I want us to look at that tonight and look at what that message was and what it was. Now we can see in Luke, in the first part of Luke, it really goes into great detail about his specific message and the message and the powerful message that he preached. But I want us to look at and focus really on John and his account and the message that John preached. And so we can see, first of all, that John says that Jesus Christ is preferred. Jesus Christ is preferred. We can see there in verse number 22, what say then, who art thou, that we may give an answer of them, and give an answer them to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah, verse number 27, and he is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I'm not worthy to unloose. And so he had this message, but he understood the message was not about himself. Remember, when you compared him to the Pharisees were all about themselves. The message was all about them. The message was all about how righteous they were. And the message was all about how much I'm so much better than you guys. Remember, the Pharisees on the side and said, oh, I'm glad I'm not as this publican are. They viewed themselves at a higher place. But John says, really, the message that I'm going to preach has nothing even to do about me. It's all about to do with Jesus Christ. This word that he is preferred here literally means before me or somebody that's in front of me. Remember, God says in the first Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So God is supposed to be preferred or before me. That phrase there, before me, literally means something in front of me. So if I stand here, this pulpit is before me. It's in front of me. It's everything. I can't go forward. It's before me. Everything is here. And so God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In other words, God should be the one that leads us and guides us and directs us and takes us on the right path. But too many times we push God off to the side and we put ourselves in the front or we put something else in the front. But John the Baptist says, no, my life is entirely about Jesus Christ. He is before me. He is first before me. Everything about him is first. I mean, think about John the Baptist. He was older than Jesus. He was born Jesus was born 6 months after John. And how many of you have older siblings? Anybody have an older sibling? Don't they like to lord that over you? I'm older than you. Even twins, ask a twin. Yeah, ask any twins, who's older? And the first one, I mean, oh, I'm 2 minutes older. I'm the senior of the group, you know. But John says, even though I'm older, I may be 6 minutes older or 6 months older, maybe a little bit wiser. I might have a little bit more influence. But really, it's not about me. It's about him. It's not about myself being the older, maybe being the most important of the two. No, Jesus Christ is the most important. He is preferred. This word here, to be before me, but also means to regard more than another, to honor or esteem above another. In other words, God is supposed to be before us, but not only is he supposed to be before us, we're supposed to honor him and esteem him above all other people. That's why we say when we do the vows, when Pastor and Miss Tina did their re-vows, they said, I want to honor honor you, and I want to put you before anyone else. I think about you first. I think about you before anything else in my life or any other person. They're preferred. They're the best. Scripture says there, but he was before me. It's interesting because he was born 6 months before Jesus Christ, but he actually says he was before me because John is acknowledging that even though Jesus Christ was born 6 months after him, he's always been. Even before John was even thought of by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, and when he talked to Elizabeth, Jesus already existed. He was already alive. So John the Baptist was sitting there saying, even though I may be physically born before Jesus Christ, 6 months beforehand, he's eternal. He's always been. He's always been there. He was before me. He was first to me or first of that. It refers to time and importance. John chapter 1, verse number 1 there. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John says, I can't make myself more important to Jesus Christ because Jesus was in creation. Everything was made by him. In fact, if you really want to think about it, John was made by Jesus. So he had to be first. He had to be most important. Jesus is the great I am. John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus Christ declares that he is the I am. Revelation declares Jesus Christ as the Alpha and the Omega. The Bible in the Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the Creator. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the slain one. He was slain before the foundations of even of the world. And John the Baptist says, I don't even compare to any of that. Here's the problem. Lots of us begin to look in the mirror and we think to ourselves how important we are. But in reality, God's first. He's far more important than anybody else. He's far more important than anything. And we can see pastors, and I've seen them before in my life, and pastors, really honest, got to be careful. It's not about building a kingdom for ourselves. John the Baptist did not come to build a kingdom, did not come to build an empire, did not come to do any of those things. He simply came to preach about somebody who was before him, most important, preferred above him. Problem is many of us don't put Jesus Christ in the preferred position like he ought to be. Like he ought to be first in life. I think what Jesus Christ did. He did the will of his Father. And he received all power. Second of all, we see he wanted to talk about Jesus and his fullness we received. His fullness we received. We see there in verse number 26, John answered them saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to do. Jesus, he was helping them understand that here was Jesus Christ, and these phrases that are here means that which fills the sum total. Moses' law pointed toward our sin, but Jesus Christ was going to point to himself and to the cross of Jesus Christ. The law pointed toward our sin, but Jesus Christ points to his blood. Jesus Christ was going to be the one to give us everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the incarnation of two major things, grace for grace and truth. Without those two things, we have no salvation. Without those two things, we have no eternity. Think about all that God gave to us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Can you imagine the grace that Jesus Christ has, and then John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Living embodiment of grace. To die upon the cross for an evil, wicked mankind. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that we have forgiveness because of that. Jesus Christ said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 8 and verse number 32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John says, none of that is me. I can't do any of those things for you. But Jesus Christ certainly can. He can make you free. He's preferred before me. He is eternity embodied. He is the Godhead embodied there. And he can have the opportunity, and you can have the opportunity as well, to be made free. His fullness we received. I just imagine John the Baptist has been preaching and preaching and preaching. Now, we know the scripture says Jesus Christ was just a common man. He wasn't, I'll help you out, he wasn't this real nice guy with perfect skin and long, flowy hair. That's not who he was. The Bible says in the prophets that he was just a plain man. He was just a plain, ordinary man. But John the Apostle later, as he writes in 1 John, as he wrote here, said there was something more about Jesus Christ than just a man. He was our Savior. He was our Lord. And John preached Jesus Christ. He said, here he is. Here he is. He's the one that will give you everlasting life. He is the one to trust in. He is the one to put your faith and trust in. He is the one to receive as your Lord and personal Savior. But thirdly, he was going to teach that Jesus Christ declares his Father. The Jews were confused by John the Baptist because even as they communicated with Jesus Christ, they always wanted to point back to Abraham. Well, we have Abraham, and we have the prophets, and we have Moses, and we have all these different things, and we have all of these. And even here, they were coming to him, are you Elias? Are you one of the other prophets? Who are you? And John says, really, from now on, you no longer look to Abraham. You no longer look to those prophets. You look to the Savior. You look to the Lord. He is now our high priest. He is now the one to give us everlasting life. And so John wanted them to begin to look through the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. But you know, it's impossible to know the Father without first knowing the Son. John chapter 8 and verse number 19. John chapter 8 and verse number 19. God says, then saith they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And really the world and the Pharisees and the others could not grasp, but they could not ever develop a relationship with the Heavenly Father because they constantly tried to do it through Abraham and do it through the law. And by the law can no man be justified, but they could have it through Jesus Christ. And yet they rejected Jesus Christ. And so because they rejected Jesus Christ, they would have no opportunity with a relationship with the Father. It's not possible. Without the Father, without the Son, we have no relationship with the Father. Moses pointed to Christ. The apostles could look upon Jesus Christ, and the only way to see him is Jesus Christ. And so he says that in verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I like what it says. If you flip over to verse number 46, many of them have begun to get saved. And this is the message we need to continue of the message of John the Baptist. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. They were looking to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist had a message, and they were looking to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was preaching Jesus Christ, and here comes Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist didn't say, okay, well, there he is. Sit down, Lord. Wait till I finish with my message. John finished his message and said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I want you to point to him. Everybody look to him. This is who I've been preaching about. This is the message. Here's grace. Here's salvation. Here's the pure blood. Here's the one that will die for our sins. Here's the one that will give us everlasting life. Focus upon him. And today the message is still the same. Focus on Jesus Christ. Can he change a life? Come and see. Just come and see. When anybody asks you about your church or about your salvation or about, just tell them, come and see. Just come and see. This was John's message. I'm pointing toward Jesus Christ. Just come and see. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the message of John the Baptist. We thank you for his commitment to preach the message. We thank you for his desire to point men toward Christ. It's not about him. It's not about his own fame. It was not about his own popularity. It's not about him being older than Jesus. None of that mattered. All that mattered was pointing men to Christ, pointing men to the Savior, pointing men to the one that could truly change their life. We pray, Lord, as we look and, Lord, as we adopt even the message, even as we adopt the message of John the Baptist, Lord, it's all about putting Christ first and pointing the world to Him and allowing Christ to lead us, allowing others to see Him. Lord, help us the rest of this week to point someone to Christ, Lord. Encourage a brother, encourage a sister, encourage a family member, coworker, friend to come and see. And see the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.